In the shadows you can hear the sounds, the rumble of a hundred hellhounds, cries of the banshee, terror of the Wendigo. You all they can't see, they just know where to go. It's the creature. Whoa. It's the creature.
Welcome to a new episode of Supernatural Creatures and Lore Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Chris.
And I'm Mel Heflin, the co-host.
And tonight, as we return to Supernatural Creatures and Lore for these episodes in Season 7, we are looking at a kitsune, which is in the episode The Girl Next Door, not to be confused with the movie of the same name, starring Eliza Cuthbert, who is a former porn star who moves in next to a high school senior, who's 18 years old, and his, like, deep fantasies of, you know, sleeping with a porn star are realized in this quirky rom-com rated R, of course. Or the movie The Girl Next Door, based on the novel by Jack Ketchum, which is a horrifying horror story of a movie involving child sexual abuse to a degree that a lot of it's kind of blurred out.
Exciting stuff.
It's a great movie, but it is brutal to watch because this poor girl is tortured by her aunt and then allowed to let things happen to her by some of the neighborhood boys.
Yikes.
Yeah, the worst scene of all is when she, and I've actually met the actress or whatever, and the worst scene of all is when her aunt cauterizes her clitoris.
That happens.
It was pretty brutal. It was Jack Ketchum's, like, highest selling novel. It was his first novel because he was a book editor for a long time and he had an idea for a novel and he got it published and it was a huge hit. He got more accolades for that story than anything else, because a lot of people came forward with their own story of, like, terrible sexual abuse.
A lot of bad stuff out there.
Yeah. So this is The Girl Next Door. The term, I guess, has always been used as, like, that girl who lives next door to you. And we're going to be discussing kitsunes. Mel has the plot synopsis for this episode, which, FYI, takes, like, 15 minutes to get to the actual monster of the episode because we're still dealing with leftovers from the violence.
So, this was Season 7, Episode 3, its original air date. Oh, such a good year. October 27th, 2011. Dean is furious after Sam disappears to follow a lead on a case with clues that are identical to a case Sam solved as a kid. The monster turns out to be Amy, guest star Jules Strait?
Yep. She was on Firefly. This was a show by Joss Whedon during the Buffy the Vampire Slayer days, when anything Joss Whedon wrote was, like, hot and popular.
Who has been killing low-life thugs and taking their brains for dinner. The same monster Sam found as a kid.
I don't know where the hell they came up with this thing, because we don't get to see anything like the kitsune like the way we think it does. A closer look at kitsune from the Supernatural book is the kitsune is a supernatural creature.
Chris, I'm so sorry. It's kitsune.
Kitsune. The kitsune is a supernatural creature whose natural form is a fox, but they regularly take on human form. The name kitsune is Japanese in origin, but the monsters are also known as the hul jing in China and the kumeho in Korea, and they're often referred to as werefoxes in North America. They're just a different version of the werewolf, says producer Daniel Lofton. Like how we basically did a weredog last year with Lucky in All Dogs Go to Heaven. This time we could have done a werecrocodile. Interestingly, the inspiration came from vampires, not werewolves. Sarah Gamble had a thing about the movie Let the Right One In. We'd been talking about it since the beginning of Season 6. She wanted to do Let the Right One In type episode where Sam has his first kiss, but we could never figure out a way to do it. Then our first episode of Season 7, Sarah saw an opportunity to put it there. We didn't want to do a vampire like the movie, so we found the Japanese monster, the kitsune, and we amended the lore to fit the story. In no way did they do that whatsoever. Mel, what the hell is a kitsune in the actual lore of life?
So, A kitsune is specifically Japanese in origin, since, you know, the word kitsune comes from Japan. And the folklore is that foxes possess these supernatural abilities that, as they get older, they get incredibly wise, but they're also tricksters at the same time. Just like foxes are, you know, mischievous and silly, they have the ability to shapeshift into humans, usually, you know, female, and they love to be loved by men. The folklore always has kitsunes playing tricks on people, and, you know, just sometimes, actually, they are considered faithful guardians, friends, lovers, and messengers of the gods. There's an incredible amount of shrines, Shinto shrines, over in Japan. I've been to several of them that hold foxes or kitsune very, very high, to a very high standard. But, oh, I have so much to go on here. There are multiple different types of kitsune, actually. There's the Zenko, which is the good fox. It's the messenger to the goddess Inari, which is the deity of agriculture, fertility, and good luck. And then the statues of kitsune are commonly found at the entrance of Shinto shrines as a protective function. The sacred foxes are depicted with a magical white ball in their mouth. You'll see these a lot in the Shinto shrines. That ornament is called the Hoshi no Tama. The Yako is a wild fox. They can behave maliciously, attacking farmers and chickens, as foxes do. And then there's the Ninko, which is the fox spirit. They're completely invisible, and people are possessed by it. So those are the three different types. Foxes are... there's a whole plethora of Japanese lore in specifics with foxes. There's so much so that it would take us hours and hours to just touch on some of the legends. You hear them all the time. Same with bunnies and wolves.
Okay, yeah, stick to kitsune, though.
Right. So I'm just going to touch on a few. In some Japanese legends, these foxes develop human skills. They learn to speak, they learn to write, and they take the form of beautiful women and men. Many kitsunes use the female form to visit spring festivals, and they will fall in love with a suitor. Their goal is to marry rich men to keep their human form forever. One of these main characteristics of kitsune is the ability to keep promises that they make to these humans using their magical powers to help their companion. In ancient Japan, women with ambitious and strong behaviors were called kitsune because these men actually believed that these were these fox spirits. In their spiritual forms, kitsune can possess people and enter their dreams through their nails. Most of these common legends speak kitsune with 1, 5, 7, or 9 tails, which leads us into the kitsune and its 9 tails. Another legend: for every 100 years of age, the kitsune grows a new tail. She becomes smarter, her magical powers increase, and she's able to more easily transition into a human from its spiritual form, and vice versa. Once they've reached their 9 tails, the kitsune transforms into the famous 9-tailed fox, the Kyubi no Kitsune. And its colors change to white or gold. Divine or evil, Kyubi no Kitsune, the 1,000-year-old fox, has divine status and can see and hear all things happening in the world. She can emit fire, the kitsune bee, from its mouth or tail. If the 9-tailed fox becomes evil, it can be incredibly dangerous to our world. Many disasters such as earthquakes, fires, windstorms are said to be from the 9-tailed 1,000-year-old fox. And here's one more legend for us. How to discover if you are encountering a kitsune in human form. They cannot hide. Well, it's very difficult for them to hide their tail. because the tail will sometimes jump out from under the clothes, and water will always reflect its true form. Kitsune cannot stand being in the proximity of dogs. They will be so afraid in human form that they will turn back into a fox and run away if they are near a dog.
I don't understand why they decided to do what they did. All we get in this episode is a bunch of claws and some monster eyes. I guess they're like fox eyes for these things. And there's nothing in the lore that a kitsune eats a human
pituitary gland.
Pituitary gland, right?
No, there's nothing like that. But I think that they were trying to relate them so closely to werewolves because werewolves in the supernatural universe only eat human hearts.
Just as werewolves eat hearts, kitsune eat pituitary glands. In fact, they need a steady diet of human pituitary glands to survive. They don't, according to what Mel just read. At least that's the justification for the gruesome diet. In human form, kitsune sprout supernaturally long claws that stab you behind the ear to get at your brain. Some kitsune don't like to kill, though, preferring instead to feed on glands that acquire from people who are already dead. These gentler kitsune, like the skinwalker Lucky, enjoy human companionship, but foxes aren't house pets, so they stay in human form and take on human lovers, even spouses. They can breed with humans, too. The problem is, if a kitsune child gets sick, it needs fresh human pituitary glands to rebuild its strength, and suddenly its peaceful parent becomes a necessary killer. That is, with any rabid animal, they have to be put down. A knife to the heart does the trick for a regular kitsune, but the more tails a kitsune has, the more powerful they are. So if you find yourself up against an old kitsune with nine tails, you had better bring a silver blade. So FYI, Dean kills the kitsune in this episode, and then the kid says, "I haven't killed anyone, but I'm gonna one day kill you." That never happens. Dean is killed by
we never see that kid again.
No, the way Dean is actually killed is he gets stabbed onto a post. It wasn't by the kitsune kid. This plot line never comes back. In fact, I don't even remember if we ever see a kitsune ever again, unless it was in that god awful mobster episode, which we're never gonna cover.
Yeah. I think they were mentioned a couple of times. For instance, there was at one point they were at Bobby's junkyard and Bobby mentions, there was a kitsune. I've never seen them outside of Japan, right?
Yeah, actually, what's the thing that comes after Rufus in the episode Weekend at Bobby's?
That is dug up in the junkyard, right?
Yeah. Because then he tells Sheriff Jody, "I've got a body in the back and I got a body in the trunk," or whatever. And then she pulls right next to him is Rufus in handcuffs or whatever, because she's like, "What do I do with Rufus?"
In season 7, The Girl Next Door, defending your life in a flashback only.
But by the way, this is the first episode. Fiction. This is the first episode with a kitsune, because the official episode guide lists the character profile for the kitsune. If it had been previously on the show, we wouldn't be covering it now. We would have already covered it.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just so baffling what they did with this. It's so bad. It's just as bad as dragons.
Nearly. The dragon was bad.
The dragon was awful. I mean, I don't understand the budget of the show sometimes. I get it. They have a television show budget, but do something better. You could have given this chick like multiple tails or something. You know what I mean? Don't they sell those tail butt plugs or something that you see like in certain fuzzy fetishes?
So most of the time, whenever I've done photo shoots with tails, they put a little bit of fishing line on you.
Oh, it's not usually
a butt plug.
Oh,
not
okay.
Usually.
All right. I'm just kidding. From what I've seen, it's a butt plug.
I mean, sometimes.
If that's what you're into.
That might deter an actress, though.
If that's what you're usually. Into, sure. Kitsune are servants of Inaria. Kitsune are associated with Inaria, the Shinto deity of rice. Interesting. So they eat rice. The association is reinforced by Fox's supernatural
significance. Rice is very important in Japan.
This association reinforces the fox's supernatural significance. Originally, kitsune were Inari's messengers, but the line between the two is now blurred, so the Inari Akami may be depicted as a fox. Likewise, entire shrines are dedicated to kitsune, whose devotees can leave offerings. Interesting. And we know that they're tricksters, but neither the mom or the girl in this are tricksters. By the way, how old do you think Sam is in this episode, or the actor playing young Sam?
Oh, gosh. He was pretty young. I'd say he's about 12. I'm a horrible judge of age, though.
Okay, but don't you think the actress playing the younger version of the kitsune is definitely older than 12?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, A, she is so much taller, and they are trying to height differentiate them when they're shooting them, but she's also... She's got a little bit of a huskier voice, and her body is definitely more developed than you would think of a 12-year-old.
You would think.
I understand women develop early, and that's fine. What I'm trying to say is that I think the age difference in the actors is incredibly jarring, considering Sam is supposed to be, like, 12 or 13, and this girl is supposed to be the same age. Unless she's supposed to be a little older, which is fine. She could be 13 or 14, but there's no way in hell you're going to convince me she's actually 13 or 14, because that actress was definitely 18.
Yeah.
It was just weird to me when you have that much of a difference.
It always hurts whenever... Yeah, it always hurts. And I know we're not in the 80s anymore. My goodness. We used to have 18-year-olds. You know, we're supposed to believe that this 21-year-old woman is married to this 90-something-year-old man, and this is normal. But it always hurts whenever it's kids, and it's like, that's possibly their first kiss. Come on, now we really have to do this on screen.
I mean, I get Sam's first kiss, and that's fine. You know what I mean? Because there's, like, the whole thing with, like, Ruby, you know what I mean? Like, Sam has a thing for demon girls, of course. It's funny, is this is right after... this is just before... Sam would hit the dog and start dating the veteran who's still pining over her her boyfriend, husband, whoever it is that was possibly lost in the Iraq war. Remember that plot line's coming up.
Oh gosh, that was a rough one.
Yeah, that's actually what it is. So the phone calls in 1998, Sam was born in like 1982 or 84, something like that, right?
I'm looking it up.
So maybe he is supposed to be like 15.
He was born in 83.
Okay, so he's the same age as my brother. So he would be 15.
That kid was not 15.
He was not 15. Unless he was. He was just a very young 15. But then that girl is definitely not 15 either.
I'm not the greatest judge of age.
That's fine. Gross. So that's all the notes I have here for the Kitsune for this episode of the Supernatural Creatures and Lore, The Girl Next Door, the first episode of 2025.
At Mel Heflin, pretty much anywhere where there's media.
And you've never played a cat or fox or any kind of kitsune thing, have you?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? All the roles you've done together in your bread? You haven't had to, like, dress up like a fox for something, for somebody, for some photo shoot?
I don't think so, but I have been to the Fushimi Inari Shrine.
Oh, right, in Japan when you were living there.
I did. It was fantastic.
And how was it?
Oh, it was beautiful. It was a lot of walking, and if you go at, like, 6 in the morning, which I highly recommend, it's a lot easier to walk around in. It's not nearly as crowded as it normally is.
Well, why don't you post a picture of it up on the in the Supernatural group?
I sure can.
All right, do that. Thanks, Mel, and don't forget you can find us online on all of your streaming services. You can send us an email at thatradiohorror@gmail.com. If you do find us on our streaming services, please leave a rating to help the podcast. Thank you very much, everyone, and we'll be back with the next exciting episode of Supernatural Creatures and Lore.
In the shadows you can hear the sounds, the rumble of 100 hellhounds, cries of the banshee, terror of the wendigo. You all they can't see, baby, just nowhere to go. It's the creature. Whoa.